Or maybe let's see, I'm going to change the question. Maybe that's what it is. Let me refine our question. Sometimes for those of you who are going to be doing readings for yourself and for other people, and if you keep getting the same message, you know, okay, this is an action I need to take, or this is something I need to pay attention to. But if you are wanting to clarify or shift the message, sometimes you need to shift the question, shift the energy of what it is that you are wanting to know. Okay. So I'm going to put forward, I was doing something general before. I'm going to put forward a clear question, which is, what is it that we are needing to know? And let me just, hey House, if I could ask you, when lovely Sandra Ann Taylor, she may be already here, if she is here, please find out if she, because we're running, since we were running about 10 minutes behind, if 10 minutes behind is okay for her. Hi, Goddess Sandy. Oh, yay, she is here. Okay, so I wanted to, if we could, okay. All right. So let me finish this. Yay! Absolutely. I'm so happy to see your face.
Absolutely. Go ahead. It's my reading.
Yay. Okay. So let's do that. And then what I will do is we will do the altar making class afterward. That is wonderful. Yay. I'm so happy to see you. Let me just introduce this beautiful woman. Okay. This is Sandra Ann Taylor, who is a legendary, that's how you have to say it too. You have to say legendary. She is a legend in this field. She is a scholar. She is a medium. She is a sister, twin sister. She is an oracle creatrix. As I shared with you, I'm a deck collector, and there are very few decks where I have two of them. I have two copies of this deck because it's one of the decks that, you know, when someone, you know, I just needed two copies. I'll just put it that way. And she is also the kindest, gentlest, most loving, welcoming human being who I met her at a Hay House event, and she embraced me with love and family and affection. And so welcome, Goddess Sandy, to this sacred conversation.
Well, thank you, Goddess Abiola. You are family. We are family.
We are family.
We go back way back. So
yes.
And I'm fine. Just go ahead with your reading. And I feel like the 10 minutes was supposed to be meant. There's a message there for me.
Okay. All right. Yes. Okay, good. All right. So what is Sandra Ann Taylor needing to know right now? So Sandra Ann Taylor, if you could give me a number between 1 and 11, please. We'll go with that.
7.
Okay. All right. Okay. Beautiful. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Okay. That was really okay. All right. Okay. Beautiful. This is a reading for you. And I feel like this is a reading for many of us healers who are in this circle. Okay. So the ancestors who have come forward for you, Goddess Sandy, are, I'm going to hold them up, put them up in order here. The martyr, representing sacrifice and self-reflection. The father of water, representing balance and harmony. And the griot, representing the state of being blissed. Oh. And so the energy of this reading is saying that exactly what we were just talking about, how loving and giving a human being that you are. And that as you are doing your work and putting your voice out into the world in a big way and a part of, you know, the front line of world changers, that we want to make sure that you are taking good care of you. Type me in the comments if this is for you as well, okay? We want to make sure that you are taking care of you, that it is one thing to make sacrifices for the collective good, you know, with doing your work and paying attention to everything that you have that is meant to do, like even showing up for me here in this broadcast when you're so busy. All of those things are wonderful, but you want to make sure that you are not martyring yourself, not letting your cup run dry, not taking away from yourself in a way that is harmful or detrimental, so that you as the griot, griot in West African culture is the storyteller. You, as this storyteller of culture, are able to remain in the blissed state that is natural to you, that you bring to other people, that you're able to continue to bring that to yourself. Oh, does that sound or feel in alignment?
Yes, yes. And I have to say, you know, you mentioned Colette, and she always talks about cledons. And yes, a cledon is a reading that someone else gets. But I, as you were giving that to me, I was just hearing voices in your audience saying, I do that. I do yes. that. I give yes. up too much. I have to take care of myself just to find my bliss. So I feel like it was definitely a reading for all of us. And I just heard Spirit say, and you too, Happyola.
Yes, it absolutely is for me too. It absolutely is. I'm getting chills. I'm seeing, look at all the people saying me in the chat. Yeah, it's definitely for us. We're a circle here of empaths, givers, light workers, and wounded healers. You know, and so I absolutely relate to that reading and needed that reading as well. And so, beautiful goddess Sandy, tell us how it is that you and your sister are both in this same line of work and how you got started.
Well, my sister is a twin, my twin sister, Sharon Ann Klingler. We were like intuitive psychic kind of from childhood. We would be having conversations in our sleep and our parents would come up to yell at us to go to bed and we'd be sleeping and having a lucid interchange of conversation. So we just thought everyone did that till we hit high school and found out that, you know, not everybody was naturally that inclined. But I want to tell your people, you don't have to be a twin. You don't have to be spontaneously psychic. You have that within you. As Abiola points out in her wonderful book, The African Goddess Initiation, that all of the ancestors and the wisdom of each type of ancestor, and you have so many in there. I couldn't stop reading it once I got it. The research you must have done, oh my God, it's incredible. So the psychic, the intuitive, that exists within each of us. So you don't have to be a twin. You don't have to do it from childhood. All you have to do is call that up. And as you do in your book, you have every goddess, you have an honoring. Honor this part of your soul. And so I want to, you know, as much of that is my history. You don't have to have that history to be so intuitive. All you have to do is be open to that part of you that did this in the past.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. I think that that's really important for our audience because one of the common questions that I get is that people say, well, yes, you say that we all are intuitive or all can be intuitive, but how do we know how do we trust our inner voice? Can you share with them how can they trust their inner voices?
You know what people say, did I just make that up?
Right.
And when I say trust your inner voice, what I tell them to do is go ahead, make it up, because the right side of the brain is the part where we imagine. The left side is where we analyze. As soon as you go into, am I making this up? You're shutting it down. Okay. So even if you think you're making it up, first of all, you're not. Secondly, it feels like that because you are so much in tune with that picture, that image. It could be a past life image. It could be a message from a spirit, an ancestor, a goddess, whatever. Let yourself be open to it and stop analyzing it and getting into that left brain. Let it be okay to, quote, make it up, because you're not. It just feels that way because that's the side of the brain we use to make things up. Yes. That means you're in tune. If it feels like you're making it up, it means you're in tune.
Yes, yes. Well said. Well said. And so how do you recommend if someone is wanting to build a relationship with their ancestors or wanting to access their ancestral wisdom, how do you recommend that they begin to do that?
Well, I think I either read in one of your cards. I mean, when I got the package, Yeah. I haven't put it down since then. And one of the, either the book or something, you recommend putting pictures of your ancestors up. And I do that all the time. I've done it my whole life, all the deceased people, but not just my lineage ancestors, yes. People that I respect, you know, people, you know, as you talk about, we have ancestors that are not related to us. And my book, my sister wrote a book called Answers from the Ancestral Realm. And yes. I was lucky enough to read it. I did the audio because she had COVID and couldn't, we have identical voices and she was coughing too much. So I read it. And I realized, you know, we have these people that are like, I get inspiration from authors, famous authors. And I used to think, why would that famous person try to help me? And I realized this is my literary ancestor. This is that we're connected in that way. So also put your favorite, you know, authors up, your favorite work by your favorite artists. They're our ancestors too. And I also have angel pictures and statues around my house. And they're our ancestors too, because where do we all come from? Divine consciousness. Every single one of us, angel, every culture, every person, every ancestor. So then what I do is I talk to them. I talk to my mother, my grandmother, this angel, Arthur Conan Doyle.
Yes.
Artist, whatever. And I just put out a question and I don't wait for it. I just go through the day and something, it'll hit me like a flash when I'm driving or maybe in a dream. Always keep a notebook by your bed, guys, because your ancestors will come in your dreams. And they'll give you answers.
Yes, they will. Not always the answers that you want, but that's good.
Maybe not. That's very true. But we have to be open to it. Yes. And sometimes the answers that we get that aren't what we want lead us in a new direction that bring us more of what we really want. And in terms of such a greater scale, you know, it's something that we have to be open to. And that's, and you know, in one of your cards, and I have them all here. You talk about the cycles, and yes. I think that you talk a couple times. You talk about the cycles, and we have to realize that we go through cycles as a part of our initiation. You have that in your book, and instead of looking at a period we're going through as a failure or as an insurmountable problem, we can redefine it as a transformation, as an opportunity, as just a cycle that we need to go through. If the earth didn't go through winter, we could not have the spring.
Yes.
We have to go through these cycles to blossom, and then we're open to many, many more options and many, many more blossomings than we had anticipated.
Ah. Oh. Well said. Well said. I think that is so important. So important. It and it really puts things in perspective. You know, like when you said, for example, you know, like we've done this before. So even, you know, with you and I, like when you meet people and they feel like home, it's because they are. Mm-hmm. It's because they are. It's, there's no accident that, you know, the people who are here, who have, you know, somehow through time and space, wherever you are, have connected with Sandy and I at this moment in this conversation. It's not by accident at all. It's perfectly in alignment and it's exactly as it should be. And I love what you just shared about cultural ancestors. So I'll give you an example. I was sharing yesterday that, you know, with my grandmother, who, you know, she passed when I was in college. And she's the first ancestor I was connected to. I would say, all right, Granny, come on, we've got to write this paper. Like, okay, we've got to do it. And I realized the other day I was still doing it when I was finishing up my next book, which is named From Imagination to Reality. And I was talking to Dr. Dyer and I was like, come on, Wayne. All right, let's get this book. Come on, Wayne. We're doing this. We're let's get this book finished. You know, and so another question then that just popped up that I've heard from our circle as well is that people say that they don't feel like whatever they're doing is important enough to call on the ancestors. Like they don't want to waste their time. You know, if we're talking about, like you said, Arthur Conan Doyle or Dr. Wayne Dyer, like, okay, well, why should they bother with little old me, little old us? You know, that's a question that people have as well.
Well, first of all, part of what makes them our ancestors is the resonance. You know, Wayne was a writer. You and I are writers. You know, we can call on these people. I call on Louise a lot too. Yes. Louise Hay. And, yes. And the resonance is one of entrainment, and quantum physics entrainment is matching energy. And so they actually enjoy doing the stuff they did on Earth. Yes. They enjoy, and you know, they can't take a pen in their hands and write it up, but they can get into our heads and say, and I have gotten so many ideas where I thought, at first, when this first started happening, I thought, oh, I'm brilliant. Then I realized it's all damn spirit. It's not anything me. I am not taking ownership of any of this because it's all spirit. Get off of your high horse, Sandy.
Yes.
It's true because they love to funnel this stuff into us. And so even if it's a big project and you're writing, and even if you think, or you're painting, I had a client once that was a painter, and I got Monet with her, and she kept saying, no, he was too important. And he wanted to function through her. Then I found out in our reading that she had visited where he did water lilies and taken classes on his style. And I'm like, of course he's coming to you. And so we need to open up to that. But even the little things, those are big projects. And we absolutely, they love sharing the big projects. But even the little things, I just need an idea here. Or I need to reach so-and-so. I need to make a phone call. I need to get through to this person. The little things the spirit loves to do too, because they are actually functioning in the human experience, and they feel such a purpose and definition with that.
Yes, indeed. It's so interesting. I'm wondering if you also have this experience of when you birth a deck or birth a book, as we say, where it's spirit, we're channeling, it's all just channeling.
Oh, yeah, that's
and then when you get it, it's almost like you have to get to know it again. Like, oh wow, okay. Like you're see, like yesterday I was reading from the guidebook. It was like I was seeing the words for the first time. I'm like, oh yeah, wow, oh, this is good.
That has happened to me. I've actually been on interviews where someone said, oh, I just pulled this card for you from your deck, and what's this one about? And I was like, I channel that. I need to stop and think. So then you channel it again. You call yourself. You have to be calm. No urgency. See, desperation pushes our intention away. You know, when in my books, I write about the law of paradoxical intent. And the law of paradoxical intent says the more desperate and urgent we are to achieve a certain goal, even if it's intuition, whatever it may be, maybe it's a man, maybe it's getting published, whatever, the more desperate or urgent we are to achieve a certain goal, the more that needy, toxic energy pushes the goal away and creates the paradox or the opposite of our intention. So we need to be calm and trust and relax in the belief that this is going to happen. It may not happen next week or next month, but it is going to happen. You have to believe in that part of yourself. This or something better is going to happen. Spirit's going to make it happen. You know, when I went to New Orleans in my 20s or 30s, I went to Marie Laveau's grave. You must be familiar with Marie Laveau.
Yes.
And I did the gris-gris, and hadn't even written a book yet. And I asked for a New York Times bestseller. Well, it took 20 years, but it happened. Now, I'm not telling everyone to go down to New Orleans and work up Marie Laveau's grave, but it's something that I just said, okay, whenever and however it happens, it'll happen. And that's how we have to live in the peace of the action that we're taking towards our goal, plus in the peace of our everyday life, building our community, finding pleasure and happiness in the little things, creating an energy of a joyous intention when you get up in the morning. And it doesn't have to just be indulgence. It could be as simple as the smell of a flower.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. So what was the first oracle deck that you created, if you recall?
Yeah, the first oracle deck, and it's still the most popular 13 years or 12 years later, is the Energy Oracle, because it's totally based in, it's very simple. Wasn't tarot. I did the Akashic Tarot. That's a little more complex. I did the Quantum Oracle, which has suits and stuff. But the Energy Oracle and the Spirit and Energy and Spirit Oracle, my most recent, have a very easy to understand. You can get it through the picture. Both of those, Energy Oracle and Energy and Spirit Oracle. I love the Spirit one because they bring in a lot of ancestors and spirits in. And it just basically, is predictive in a way that allows you to know the energetic potential of the future. All of us, you, me, everyone that does readings, we have to realize that the information we get about the future is based in present energy. It's an energetic potential. And when the free will of people involved and things in the nation or the global situation change, it can change the outcome. So this is so liberating to me, because even if I get something where I pull a card and it's a storm and I'm like, how is this relationship going to go and blah, blah, blah. And it's the storm card. I'm like, oh no. But it says, I know that the energy can shift. So if I get the storm card and there's a warning in it, then I say, okay, what do I need to do to bring peace to this situation and bring intention and consciousness to this situation? And that allows me to, it gives me the power to say, okay, I got this prediction and I can change it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Okay. So I have one more question for you. Yeah. Say again.
It's true too. It's amazing.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. I have one more question for you then before you go. So with we're in a very interesting time, not in the way that they say it as a curse, may live in interesting times, but we're in a time where, it's almost like the things that, for those of us who, I feel like I've been doing this for a long time, but you've been doing it twice as long as I have, where the world is catching up with all of us so-called, crazies, or all of the people who have been saying things that it's like, oh, that's weird. The world has caught up, science is catching up with spirituality.
Yes, it is.
And, things that before, were whispered about, now we're having a whole Facebook Live and talking openly. And so it's a really wonderful time. What do you feel like we are most needing to know, those of us who consider ourselves to be spiritual seekers and a part of this work and this the evolution, of consciousness going forward? Little question, just a little.
Global. Question. Well, here's the thing. What I think we all need to know is, and we all need to adjust our approach to our own lives and to the world in a way where we allow. We put our own energy in. And this is where I love to get, I love to do group work with vortex, prayer vortex, intention vortex, and send it out into the universe. Because the more of us that gather together, we can create a consciousness, not with a specific intention, not with who to vote for or whatever, but a consciousness of expanding peace, an intention of expanding harmony, acceptance, tolerance, that type of thing, and prayer. And, each of us as individuals, there are so many studies that show that prayer works in terms of changing crime, healing people, changing destinies of whole cultures. So I think that the message here is, number one, don't freak out. Don't freak out. The world does seem like sometimes, and we want to control it. I rarely watch the news. Louise always said, don't watch the news, especially before bed, because people don't know this, but the last image you see at night and the last thought you have repeats hundreds of times during your sleep. You don't want violence in that experience. So, you know, I rarely watch the news, but when I do, I say, you know, why can't people love each other? Why do these cultures have to hate each other? And so instead of going in that direction, I ask the angels to surround the groups, and angels, I really work with the angels a lot. There are legions of angels who have intentions of peace. And I'm sure the ancestors can be brought to that, those circles, and say a little prayer and ask for the peace and the energy to be healed. And then allow it, let it go, surrender it. Because when we have anxiety about something, that feeds the anxiety of the world. Yes. And anxiety, you know, I'm not going to get into the quantum physics of it, but there are fields of consciousness. And anxiety is one of them. Fear and hate and love are all fields of consciousness. And the more we expand them, the more that reaches, that they reach down and affect people who are ready to act in either a loving way or an anxiety producing way. So it's important to calm ourselves and not be anxious, and to give it to God and give it to the angels and the ancestors and say, please bring peace here, and say a little prayer around it and surround it with the angelic realm and the ancestral realm.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that answer. I think that, you know, that it's so important for us to, as you said, to have the intention of love, not only for ourselves and our loved ones, but for the world. You know, and oftentimes when people feel like, well, I don't know what to do, you know, just that by itself, you're doing something huge. Mm-hmm. And then with, you know, us together here in this circle, the resonance of that, you know, quantum, you know, multiplied, quadrupled, you know, is extremely powerful, extremely powerful. So Goddess Sandy, we are doing a giveaway of, let's give away Secrets of the Ancestors and also the Priestess of the Light Oracle. So if
you I love that deck.
Yes. Are you able to see the comments to select people?
No, you know what? I'll just give it to you. So,
okay. All right. So I'm going to select
beautiful people.
Okay. All right. So let's see. So Goddess Marnie, who is saying that she loves your Akashic Tarot deck.
Wonderful.
She is the winner. Goddess Marnie is the winner of Priestess of Light. So Hay House, please find Goddess Marnie and give her this deck. And Goddess Marlene, who is saying that she asks her ancestors and the angels what is there for her to learn. Let's gift her Secrets of the Ancestors. So if Hay House, if you could please find Marlene Henry. And so Goddess Sandy, will you tell people where they can find you throughout social media and the universe?
Yeah, you can find me at sandrataylor.net is my website. And Facebook is Sandra Ann with an E, Taylor. Sandra Ann Taylor, Facebook. And, you know, just contact me in one of those places. And also, you and I are going to be meeting up
yes.
the end of the month. We're going to be in Phoenix at the I Can Do It. So if any of your goddesses are able to come, you know, give us a hug. Come and
give us a hug. Yes. Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
A goddess hug anytime.
Anytime. Oh, thank you so much, beautiful Sandy. And to everyone here, you can come hang with me at secretsoftheancestors.com or womanifesting.com. And we will do our altar making workshop tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Hay House's Facebook page. Thank you, Goddess Sandy. This was amazing.
Thank you, Goddess Abiola. I love you.
I love you too. Bye. Bye, everyone.